The Apostle Paul's inspired letter to the Christians living in Judea in 61 CE speaks of everlasting deliverance. What does that encompass? The keynote address will answer that question. It is entitled, Jehovah's Provisions for Our Everlasting Deliverance, and it will be presented by our convention overseer, Brother Keith Hutchinson, who serves in the airport congregation in Corpus Christi.
Jeremiah was told, I am written by Jehovah. Jeremiah 1:19. There are some words needed deliverance. He was told. To be delivered means to be rescued from danger or from a painful, unhappy state. Happiness. And how desperately the human race, the human family needs such deliverance. People everywhere are burdened down and discouraged by economic, social, physical, mental, emotional. The vast majority of mankind is discontented. They're disappointed the way the things are working out, the way the world is going. And they're like, look at the TV, at the news, war, and all kinds of problems. Well, some don't think they need deliverance. They're arrogant. Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:3 says they're lovers of themselves, self-content. They need no rescue. They have a good job, maybe, nice car, house with air conditioning, more food than they need and can eat. They go to vacation, eat in restaurants when they want to. They have good health so far. This is a small sense of security. This can become unraveled overnight. In truth, every human alive is in dire need of deliverance. Illustrated like a person infected with a lethal disease. Now, a person infected with a disease is only going to the doctor and seek deliverance by means of medical experts. What is the disease that we have? Sin. Sin affects everyone. It's far more serious than any disease. And it's lethal. There's not a person in this world. Has proved so virulent that it has spread to all the humanity of the world's five blood. It is unavoidable. Good morning. Jesus Christ is the sin of the world. All have sinned, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Brothers, don't we see evidence every day of our own sinfulness? The desperate need of deliverance. Paul saw it in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. He described his frustration when he saw this sin working in him. Notice how it was stated in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. Every read, I find him, this law in my case, that when I wish to do what is right, what is bad is present with me. I really delight in the law of God, according to the man I am within. But I behold in my members another law warring against the law of my mind, and leading me captive to sin's law that is in my members. Miserable man that I am, who will rescue me from this body undergoing this death? What is his answer? In verse 25. Thanks be to God. What has God done to deliver us? Much. Paul recognized that his hope for deliverance from sin and death came through Jesus. 1 year prior to him. Since death is through a man, resurrection of the dead is also through a man. For just as in Adam, all are dying, so also in Christ, all will be made alive. Very simple. And one man has the problem, and one is willing to resolve the problem. Paul knew it. Well, first of all, the ransom applies to the anointed. We know that. But it also applies to all of us. In 1 John chapter 2, we have a very clear explanation that this ransom applies to all people. The ransom is for everybody, this individual. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he is a propitiatory sacrifice for our sins, yet not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, when Paul said, or when John says, not for ours only, he was referring to the anointed. But he says, for the whole world that would believe in Jesus Christ. So it's not limited to those of the tribes of the flock. The benefits of Jesus' ransom sacrifice extend far beyond the benefits of the and the entire world of mankind, if they take advantage of it. The great crowd who are now living in thousands of millions who are dead will be resurrected in the paradise earth and will receive everlasting life on the basis of the faith of the ransom. So deliverance is a benefit. Now, what steps has Jehovah taken to arrange for our deliverance? Chapters of the Bible, and we read about the first prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And there we read that the approval of animal sacrifices in every nation. And the same time in the Bible, we see the legal sacrifices, the before the law of Moses, we sacrifice animals for his brothers. And then we find the Job, he sacrificed for his family, taking animals and sacrifice. So they understood that these animal sacrifices were very important, that blood was important to the Holy God for forgiveness. In Leviticus 17, we read then how the law made it very clear on why the Holy God. For the soul of the flesh is in the blood. I myself have put it upon the altar for you to make atonement for your souls, because it is the blood that makes atonement by the soul in it. So the Israelites knew that his blood made atonement for them. Now the Apostle Paul, there he described a little more detail on about why blood was important. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Yes, nearly all things are cleansed with blood according to the law. We just read it, didn't we? And unless blood is poured out, no forgiveness takes place. So the atonement Now we use the word forgiveness. We understand a little better about that. Now look at chapter 10, verse 1. Since the law has a shadow of the good things to come, but not the very substance of the things, men can never, with the same sacrifices from year to year, which they offer continually, make those who approach perfect. So the law, the animal sacrifice in the law, was not perfect. It really wasn't alleviating the entire problem. Man still was sinful. Now, on the Atonement Day, if we go back to the nation of Israel, and we look at this in chapter 16 of Leviticus, we read about the high priest and the sacrifice. In verse 11, we read, Aaron must present the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement in behalf of himself and his house. And he must slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. So Aaron would slaughter the bull, take the blood, and that was on behalf of himself and his family. So notice verse 15. And he must slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. And he must bring its blood inside the curtain and do with its blood the same as he did with the bull's blood. And he must make it spattered for the company. Here we take the goat, and this is for the people in general. Now, let's go back to Hebrews now. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9. See how Paul sums this up. In Hebrews chapter 9, we'll read verse 11 and 12. And this brings us to our theme of this Sunday. However, when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come to pass, through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not this creation, he entered, no, not with the blood of goats and of young bulls, but with his own blood, once for all time, into the holy place, and what? And obtained an everlasting deliverance for us. So you see, all of his sacrifices that mankind was made through the ages pointed down to the sacrifice of the ransom. And how Jesus presented before Jehovah when he was resurrected the value of the human sacrifice. But he obtained an everlasting deliverance for us. So how does the ransom deliver us from sin? Well, we know that Adam was perfect, and apart from Adam, the only person who had perfect life is called the last Adam. It's Jesus. Adam. By sinning, Adam destroyed his perfect life and began to die. And we inherited his imperfect life. And he passed it on to all of us, and he could only do that. He could only pass on sin and death. Jesus had perfect human life, as did Adam, but he never sinned. Therefore, Jesus was able to present the full value of his perfect life to Jehovah, covering the debt that Adam had incurred. For those who exercise faith in him, Jesus now becomes God-given source of eternal life. Remember the scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7? There has been born to us, there has been born a son given to us. The prince will come to be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. For the Son of God became the Eternal Father to the human family, for which he laid down his perfect human life in sacrifice. Notice the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, as he describes this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, but it is not with the gift as it was with the trespass. For if by one man's trespass, many died, the undeserved kindness of God and his free gift with the undeserved kindness by the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded much more to many. Also, it is not with the free gift as it was with the way things worked through the one man that sinned. For the judgment resulted from one trespass in condemnation, but the gift resulted from many trespasses in a declaration of righteousness. Well, And verse 18 says, so then as through one trespass the result to men of all sorts was condemnation, likewise all through one act of justification the result to men of all sorts is a declaring of them righteous for life. So what a wonderful explanation the ransom is. So the one committing this one trespass was the first man on the earth, our first father, Adam. The one act of justification was performed by the only perfect man, Jesus, that survived Adam. This allowed for him to become the eternal father of all the descendants of the trespassing Adam. So he becomes a second Adam to the human family. We have two fathers. The sacrifice of his perfect life, to the beginning of his life right to the great judge in heaven, made it impossible for him to serve as a human, as the father here on the earth, as the eternal father of mankind on the earth. When he was resurrected from the dead, he would return to the spirit realm and he was held in the resurrected right hand. Thus it was stated. It's an interesting point. It is even so written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, a life. So we see the balancing, how Jehovah brought the ransom to our benefit and is delivering us. So our deliverance, our everlasting deliverance, is really so in what ways can we benefit? Well, immediately, before the new world, you can benefit. There are immediate benefits. Forgiveness of sins is available now to all repentant ones. Christ's ransom cleanses away the stain of sin, which is over Christ. And it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses from this sin. He's cleansing millions of the great crowd now. And Jehovah responds to sincere repentance and applies the ransom to us and wipes away the stain of sin. We use the scripture in Acts 3:19. Many times the scripture says sin and come back to the truth. Repent therefore and turn around so as to get your sins blotted out. How delightful. The ransom blots out the sin. It's like wipes them off. So we're able to draw close to Jehovah and enjoy a righteous standing before our God. Christ's sacrifice also delivered us from slavery to death in this system of things. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, we quote Hebrews 2:14 a lot, but let's look at another scripture with it. First of all, verse 14 reads, therefore, since the young children are sharers of blood and flesh, he also similarly partook of the same thing, that through his death he might bring to nothing the one having the means to cause this. That is the devil. Now we read that a lot. Note the next scripture then, 15. And that he might emancipate all those who for fear of death were subject to slavery all through their lives. So how have we been emancipated or freed, delivered? Well, with Jesus. He faced all kinds of problems and survived. He was resurrected. So knowing the resurrection and knowing that the one enabled him to be strong. Satan has long used untimely death as a means of saving fear. Jesus did not have such fear. He proved faithful to Jehovah right down to death. Through his ransom sacrifice, he provided the means of freeing others from such fear. So we have no fear of death. We're all dying. We're all dying. in Revelation chapter 22 of a symbolic vision of water's light from the throne. And this light river symbolizes all of God's provisions for restoring perfect human life, including the ransom, much more. And the value of Christ's ransom will be applied to all faithful mankind in the new world, lifting them gradually to perfection, curing all of the ailments they have. From everlasting deliverance. What it can make it for you. Not up to your wife, your husband, that's a sense of dedication to the Lord God. Be clear. That's what we want. If you feel the stress, appreciate it. Partaking of the water of life, everything changes and it flows right now. Flowing is what it. And the symbolic river is water. How do we do that? Given by the faith of Christ. The words of said this in John chapter 5. Most truly I say to you, he that hears my word and believes me will trust me. You hear God's word, do you hear the need in the ransom, to accept it? Our interest is in the council. Let us listen to everything. This council we will hear is one of your holy meetings. So by
that the attendance for this opening session of our Deliverance and Transition Convention is 5:45. The morning program, let us stand, join our voices in singing song number 59, appreciating God's reminder. That's song number 59.